It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. We are moving into March. We are the 10th today, so we're rapidly approaching. Let's see, if it's the 10th, it sounds like next week we'll be almost at the equinox. And if you, like I, live on a road that runs due east-west, on the morning of the equinox, the sun will be coming up right straight down the road. And over the past weeks, I've been watching it march from down south of the road every day, a little bit closer to the road. And it'll only be another week or 10 days before that sun is going to be coming up right straight in the east. But it won't stop there. It'll continue to march all the way up to the northeast before it finally turns around and heads back the other way. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. In the meantime, lots of things going on. You know, this time of year, I'm intrigued by a lot of things out there. And one of the things that I mentioned earlier this morning, talking about there is a song that the white-breasted nuthatch makes that really sounds like a robin song, and it's just a kind of a cheep, but if you're so anxious to hear the robins in the spring as I am, oftentimes that white-breasted nuthatch will start singing and the first thought in my head is, oh, robin. And then I realized, no, white-breasted nuthatch, the robins aren't here yet. The robins typically arrive in the Grand Rapids area around the 24th of March, but if this warm weather stays, I would be predicting a little bit earlier arrival. We'll know more in a week. Besides white-breasted nuthatches making some sounds, there are, of course, lots of woodpeckers drumming. The Downies, the Hairies, and the Pileateds are all drumming by my house. Among the other birds that I've been seeing, and this is kind of a new one, Sean Conrad, who is an excellent birder here in the Grand Rapids area, was out driving around this past weekend and came up with many sightings of pine siskins. We haven't had any pine siskins for pretty much all winter, and now there are a few that are beginning to show up in the area. Horned larks, Steve from Nebish and Sean Conrad both reported horned larks in the western part of the state. So if you're out, in the Smoky Hills of the Osage, or if you're out by Brainerd, yeah, or Bemidji, or west out beyond into some of those areas, maybe Augie out in Shevlin will be seeing some horned larks. But they will be going up the prairie side of the state of Minnesota and should be visible to a lot of people heading over that way. I was accosted by a small flock of ravens this past week at the end of the road that I live on. And there were 8 or 10 of them there. They didn't appear to be focused on some roadkill or something. They were just kind of hanging out. And I suspect that is a crowd of unmated adult and juvenile ravens. They are typically this time of year quite active, looking for food and showing off for one another, trying to find a mate for the year. And so lots of courtship activities going on amongst the ravens right now. Many of the ravens, the adult ravens, are already on their nests in March and are probably brooding eggs even as we speak this morning. I was out for a walk the other day and got to looking around, and geez, the branches on the birch trees are really, really starting to get red. And I know, every year I say the birches are getting red, and every year people think that man is completely crazy. But actually, the new growth on birches is quite deeply red, and unlike the bright white bark of the plant of the trunk of the tree, it is pretty spectacular. But I have this one birch, and there are many birch like this, but a birch grown singly. and probably a seed fell in the right spot in the forest, and this tree grew up, and it is a solid, straight bowl of a trunk that goes up about 15, 18 feet before the tree starts to branch out. And it has a completely different architecture than the birches that grow in clumps. So if you go out and cut off a birch, you're going to get 6 or 8 or 10 or 15 young birches coming up out of that stump competing to be the tree. And then what you end up with, if that is allowed to continue, is a clump of birch, maybe 3, 4, 5 birch growing together in a clump. And none of them get this big straight. They're all sort of leaning out away from each other. And none of them get that big, heavy, straight bowl that this birch had. And I encourage you to kind of look around at the birches and see if you don't have one or two. At my house, when I cut a birch, the following year or 2 years hence, I go back in and I trim off all of the suckers that are coming up, save the biggest one. I take the best looking one of the group and I save that one and I cut all the other ones back. And that gives that one a chance to grow up as a single stem. And when that happens, you get a much more dynamic looking tree. I really am fond of birches when they do that. And yeah, I know that comes as a surprise to Harry Hutchins and John Zazada, but that's the way it is. Speaking of John Zazada, John has reminded me and you many times of this time of year where leaves are detaching from the red oak trees. The marquescent leaves are starting to finally break off of the tree and fall to the snow. And when they land on the snow, the sun warms them quickly, and they cut a path right down into the snow. And you can see that. I saw that much yesterday. Any dark object laying on top of the snow is going to cut a pretty deep path. A report of a robin in the Brainerd area from Peg Sipper in this area. One of the local friends of mine, Kevin, we were talking yesterday, and told me that he had a northern shrike at his house, first one that he had ever seen, and pretty excited about that. And then he told me his story about having cardinals, which made me envious. He said that the cardinals are definitely singing their spring song, and he mentioned that he's had them for several years at his place and become quite attached, as I might if they were at my house. And he said that the male disappeared for about 3 weeks. And for 3 weeks, he was absolutely distraught just thinking about what could have possibly happened to that male. Did the shrike get it? Did it just go walkabout? What happened? Well, after 3 weeks, it either returned or another one came in and took its place. In either case, he now has a pair of cardinals again at his house, and he's pretty excited about that. My wife and I have been hearing the northern saw-whet owl singing. That's the one that sounds like a truck backup alarm. It's kind of a... And if you're hearing that this spring, that's that little saw-whet owl coming back on migration. There are some that spend the winter, but most of them migrate south for the winter. And now they're returning to northern Minnesota. I started to see pussy willows this week, and those little furry buds are coming out, as well as the furry buds on the trembling aspens, the quaking aspens, which are also in the willow family and have a very similar flower to the pussy willow. So watch for pussy willows. You should be seeing them in the ditches in the next week or so. And if you take the time to stop and maybe get some binoculars out and look at some of those aspens in your yard, some of them are probably have furry buds as well. And this past week, my father-in-law and my brother-in-law put out taps into the sugar maples in his yard. My father-in-law said on Sunday they got some sap flow, but Monday was pretty quiet, so I think the cooler weather. We need, 40s during the day, 20s during the night to get good sap flow. And that weather looks like it's coming, so we should be seeing that pretty soon. Red-breasted nuthatches at the feeder, along with the woodpeckers, the chickadees, the blue jays, but not much else. Pretty quiet winter. I didn't get any pine siskins or red poles this winter, and no pine grosbeaks at all. I did have the opportunity to see a couple of trumpeter swans fly over my house on Sunday. I was out doing some work, and I just heard this one low cry, one low call, and I thought, boy, that sounds like a swan. And I started looking around. Pretty soon they flew past, and they weren't making a lot of noise, but they definitely went over the lake and over the creek that leads out of the lake. I suspect that they're looking around for open water. And the great horned owl, my neighbor Marvin reported that the great horned owl has been singing. He can hear it at his house. There's a nice example of great horned owl song on Season Watch page. My niece Alan reports finding several large pellets under a tree in her yard in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. And she has located the nest, and we will be hearing from Alan for the next several weeks and months, I hope, about the life and struggles of the great horned owls and their young. There are a flock of crows that have come to my neighbor Marvin's house. Marvin puts out a little corn for the deer, and the crows and the grouse, and everybody comes in to have a little bit. It's interesting. Marvin says that he can move around inside the house when the deer are out eating the corn, and they won't even hardly raise their heads. He can move past the window, and they just are like, yeah, we know him. We know what's going on. But he said that if he moves anywhere within sight of the window while the crows are out there, they're gone. They're that much more cautious. So interesting how the crows react to motion as opposed to the deer. Marvin also talked about a couple of grouse that come through his place and are eating the corn, and how during the daylight hours, when they fly in, they land at the base of a hazel brush, and then they spend several minutes inspecting the entire area before they walk out into the open. They're cautious. They know that there are birds out there that would like nothing better than to dine on them. So the ruffed grouse are having a good time. I happened to across a track of ruffed grouse in the snow by my house, but because of the warm weather, the tracks had sort of morphed. Think grouse tracks painted by Salvador Dali. you could tell that it was a track of grouse footprints, but the way the snow had melted and changed the shape of these tracks, it was quite interesting. I had quite a good time sort of staring at them and enjoying how they had morphed because of the sun. Yesterday afternoon, sitting there talking to my neighbor Marvin, and all of a sudden a red-tailed hawk flew up and landed on a post in his garden. And that is the first red-tailed hawk that either of us had seen this year. And it's about right. They're pretty common in the state. And this time of year, they start moving north looking for territory. And Steve and Vicky over in Pennington had a picture on Season Watch of a Compton's tortoise shell, first active butterfly of the spring. And that is always an exciting moment. I haven't seen one myself, but certainly this is the time of year when it happens. And then from Ed Dallas and on Season Watch, a couple of reports of active chipmunks. The chipmunks are waking from their sleep and are starting to come up and gather more seeds from under the bird feeders. So keep an eye out. That chipmunk's been sleeping all winter and dining on the seeds that he stole from you last fall and summer. And now he's exhausted those supplies, or has just, you know, it's just gotten warm enough that he's decided maybe it's time to come up and see what the real world is up to. So watch for the chipmunks. They should be back fairly soon. Lots of things happen in March, and we will keep track of them for you, and hopefully you'll share your observations with us. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk again next week.